Our scripture reading this morning will be Romans chapter 13, verses 11 and 12. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. "And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light."
Morning, everybody. It's very good to be here this morning. I appreciate the opportunity to speak this morning. What a great day it is to be here, and as we could take away from those verses, we are one step closer to our salvation than we were yesterday. We don't know how much time exactly we have left on this earth, but what we can say is we are closer than we were yesterday. And what a great thing that will be to be able to finally get to that place where there's no pain and there's no sorrow, there's not the physical ailments of this life, depression, sadness, stress, all that will be put to the wayside and we can be together forever. And that is our goal, and we ought to, as Paul said, run in such a way that we can obtain that prize. What I'm going to be talking about this morning is the subject of time. Imagine if you could give a sports team more time to prepare for a game, more than the other team. Give them more time to train, more time to go over plays and practice, giving them the upper hand. What if you could somehow sell to a company more hours in a day than their competitor? I would imagine you would be a very wealthy person if you could find a way to do that. Even just another hour in a day, big companies would take advantage of that and jump on it, I'm sure. Or government's military, giving them more time to prepare for war, giving them more time to train their soldiers. Time truly is one of the most precious commodities that we have. On that subject, we can't create more of it. There are only 24 hours in a day, nor can we take away from how many hours are in a day or change the rate or speed at which time has passed. Now, there are our perception of how fast time is passing can be subject to change. There may be some days that seem like they fly by and some days that they seem like they just drag on and won't end. I'm reminded of, I think it was Roger Ebert, who's a movie critic, who said, that no good movie is long enough and no bad movie is short enough. You know, that thing kind of comes to mind. When it's something enjoyable, it just seems like it flies by, and something bad seems like it will never end. But we cannot affect the rate of time passing itself. That is a constant. And one of the few constants that there really are in this life is that things are continually changing. We're always our bodies are changing. Things are progressing, culture changes over time. So that is one of the constants we have to deal with in this life. Our perception may be that we have all the time in the world to get something done. We hear people say that if they've got something they've got to do. Oh, I've got all the time in the world to get that done. I've got, you know, several months or several weeks to complete this or that task. And when it's something we put off, you know, I've got time later to do that. Which could result in us trying to do something at the last minute, which if many of us have probably done. I've certainly done it. You know, you just put off and you go, uh-oh, it's the day before the test. Probably need to crack open the book and read something. So then we stress over that impending deadline. We put ourselves in that position where we're very aware because the thing we've got to do is tomorrow. Time truly is valuable, and we must make the best of the time we have. Well, how much time is that exactly? We may be able to speculate, but truthfully, we just don't know exactly how long we're going to be here. That's different for every person. Now, there might be some things we can do that are damaging to our bodies, you know, smoking or drinking or eating at McDonald's every day. You know, there might be some things we could do then go, okay, well, that's probably not helping things. It's probably not going to help my quality of life, even if it doesn't affect my longevity. But we just don't know. Even if we're in great shape and we take care of ourselves, there are things outside of our control. We all drive on roads and highways every day, and even as a defensive driver, you can't always control what other people will do. You can't control a random accident. We just, some of those things are out of our control, and we should be prepared whenever we go to be ready to meet our God. We know that the scripture says that it's appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. And we will all face that. So we ought to be prepared regardless of how much time we have left. You know, even in a single day, we may think we have enough time to get a set amount of tasks done. We may think, well, I know I've got this amount of time I blocked off to do this. But how do we know we won't get a call that takes us away from that? Oh, there's been some family emergency or something like that. Well, now our time has dropped from those 2 or 3 hours to basically none. So even if we're pretty sure, even within a single day, we have time to do something, that could very well be subject to change as well. Things come up that we didn't plan for and take away the time that we set to do something else. I would imagine it's odd for us as human beings. We're very in tune with the concept of time. To imagine things where time either isn't or a reality where things just don't end. Everything we know has an end. Life has an end. You know, I mean, the relationships, at some point, family members pass away. Just a never in eternity, you know, especially when you think about, if you thought about becoming a Christian, or if you, I think if you've really given critical thought to becoming a Christian, or you actually are a Christian, you never have that moment where you think about how long eternity will be, and you just keep thinking about it, and just going on and on like that. Now, for heaven, that's great, but for hell, you know, if we start thinking about that, sometimes it can kind of mess with us a little bit. And it is uncomfortable to think about, and it should be. But we are entering we will enter a state where we will be one of the two places eternally. Let me get my little page flipped over here, sorry. long ago, man's years were many. Abraham lived to, I think, 175, Moses to 120. Adam actually lived until he was 930 years old. I'm not sure I want to be here quite that long. But that is quite the length of time. It's hard to imagine somebody being around this earth for that long. But I think we all know we will not be here for nearly as long as Adam. I heard a preacher once say that one of the hardest parts of ministry is knowing that you just can't save everybody. There are some people that, you know, if it was in a perfect world, is in a perfect situation for us, if everyone was willing to hear the word, and if everyone, once they heard, was willing to pretty quickly, you know, believe and decide to be baptized, that would make things a lot easier. Perhaps, you know, Philip with the Ethiopian eunuch, that situation in Acts chapter 8 where he studies, and it's that situation of, well, here's water, what hinders me to be baptized? That's the attitude that we should have, but oftentimes it's not the attitude of people who are trying to make that decision. And it is a decision that we should consider carefully. I'm not trying to, you know, suggest that we should just do something on a whim. But, you know, sometimes it takes time with people. It could be months or even years before someone we're ministering to or talking to makes that decision to take the next step and become a New Testament Christian. And just we're just constrained by time. You know, there's a lot of people in this world to save and probably not enough time to do it in. James chapter 4, verse 14, we talked about this on Wednesday night, basically tells us that, actually, let me turn to it because I want to read the verse before that too. So James chapter 4. James chapter 4, verse 13 and 14. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. So again, reiterating the point that we just don't know how long we have. I do want to go ahead and mention a couple other scriptures at this time that I kind of had written down here. First is in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, which says, Galatians 6, 9, which says, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap, if we do not lose heart. Then the other one was Ephesians 5, 16, 15 and 16. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. We have to take advantage of every second we can to be able to make sure that we're pleasing to God and that we're ministering to others. I told that story, I don't know if, for those of you who weren't Wednesday night, I told a story about my grandfather, my maternal grandfather, who I guess I had tried to talk to him about church and things when I was younger and I had just become a Christian. And he didn't really want to hear it, you know. I remember him telling me, you know, when you're 18, I'll let you talk to me about that. And I never forgot that. And I don't know if I did mention church around him, you know, 18 and on, I don't think I really made as concerted an effort as I did the first time when I was younger. I had an opportunity that I'm sure more than once I could have ministered to him. And, you know, he passed away probably about a year ago. Nothing I can do about it now. But the thing is, you know, we've got to use the opportunities we have. Now, if I ministered to him and it just, you know, taught him about the truth, did the best I could to plant and water that seed, if he didn't decide to become a Christian, there's nothing I can do about that. But, you know, there is a sadness to that going, well, whatever his fate is, I can't change it now. Let me stick to the script here a little bit. In Acts chapter 24, we see Paul talking about our Lord to Felix. His response was, "Go away for now. When I have a more convenient time, I will call for you." While verse 26 in that chapter does tell us that they did converse more in the future, we don't have any evidence that Felix actually obeyed the gospel. While we should consider what we are doing and why we are doing it in regards to becoming a Christian, we should know why we're being baptized, and there may be times where perhaps a younger person is very zealous about being baptized and they want to become a Christian, but you want to make sure they understand why they're doing what they're doing. And they're not just doing it out of fear or, I just need to do this right now. We need to make sure why we're doing what we're doing. But if we know what we need to do, but we keep putting it off, then too many times, I fear, later becomes never. Later becomes all a little later and a little later, and then it never happens. That's a big risk. You know, there may be also the time, I feel like I've had encounters with people where they kind of knew, okay, I'm ready to become a Christian, but oh, maybe I'll wait till, you know, in a month, that's the day I, something or other, or oh, in a month it's my birthday, and that'd be really neat if I could be able to be baptized on my birthday. While the novelty of that might be interesting, or kind of cool, hey, look at that, the days overlap, you know, if you just happen to get baptized on a day that, oh, that's the day that, you know, something else significant happened, then that's fine. But if we know we ought to be saved and we know what we need to do it today. And not in 2 weeks from now or because it'll line up with some other, you know, cutesy thing that we have in our life. When we want something, when we care about it, we make time for it. We make time for it. I've heard plenty of people say, you know, well, I'm busy through the week. You know, it's hard to make it to church. I've never heard anybody say, well, you know, I was busy through the week. I couldn't watch the Iron Bowl. Now, that may happen. There may be people that, they're working on Saturday, so they can't watch the game. But my point is, it's easier for us to believe that lie that we can't be here on Sunday than because it's something that maybe we want a little less, truthfully, than doing something we want. If it's something we want to do, we make time for it. If we can make time to take our kids to ball practice, we can make time to study our Bibles with our family. And it is a habit maybe that needs to be set if you're not used to doing that. And even in our household, just me and Ashley, I mean, we don't have kids. Have we been reading our Bibles like we should? No. I know that. I'm not blaming Ashley. I mean, you know, I'll take responsibility for that. It's a habit that would be easy to set, and within, you know, not really long, I think it takes like 90 days to really form a habit, it would be set. and it'd be something that we're used to doing. So if you haven't set that habit, don't feel guilty, but, you know, just let it go and start doing it now. But the point is, we've got to make time for the things that are important. Let's start setting and creating the right habits today. Consider Paul's admonition, and this is from our scripture reading. I'm actually going to read, I'll read 11 and 12 once again. Let me reiterate that there. Romans 13 verses, I'll actually read through verse 14. Romans 13, 11 through 14. And do this knowing that the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Let us not squander our opportunities to minister to others. And let us make sure that people can see Christ living in us. In this matter, I'm reminded of what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 9, verses 37 and 38, where he basically says, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." You know, I talked to a preacher one time, and admittedly, I was talking to him about, just some things going on with me. And he was talking to me, and he said, "What does Satan fear the most?" And I was kind of like, "Well, I don't know. I don't really know the answer. I don't know where this is going exactly." But he said to me, "Satan fears the most us telling him no. Us just telling him no." Satan knows his fate, and he knows that along with those who are condemned to be in hell, he will be there himself. And there is a lot of power in that, in saying no, in saying, "You know what, I know my coworkers are using language that is inappropriate, but I'm not going to use that language. I'm not going to do that. You know, I know there may be peer pressure for me to do this or that. I'm not doing that. I am not doing that. I cannot be bought. And no matter what happens to me, I will withstand. Because through the strength of the Lord, I can get through anything. And that's to His glory and not for ours." Are we using our time wisely and with urgency? Are we sowing this? You know, we sing that song, "Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom?" We will reap what we sow. And again, it is such a good thing for us to be here today. It's clear that all of you here have made good use of your time. You've made it a priority to be here. This is in heaven we're going to be together. We're going to be singing together. We're going to be worshiping God together. And that will be great to be able to be together and to finally be free from the temptations of the world, from the struggles of this world. And what a great day that will be. If you've never become a Christian, there's no better opportunity to come forward today and to make things right. If you've heard and believed, to repent and confess to Christ before men, to be baptized, and to make that first step. And if you need something, if you've fallen away, we're here for you. And we're ready and waiting for you to come back and give us a chance to encourage you. If you haven't needed this time, come together while we stand and sing.